Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. While in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Pastor Brock and Alyssa Meyer created video messages for our church family. You can find the video versions of these messages on our YouTube channel.
Good morning, church.
So good to be back with you here this morning. And we can't wait to share a word that we believe God has just put upon our hearts to encourage our church family. I just want to reach out and let anybody know that if there are hard situations that people are going through, to please reach out to the church through our website, fairmountfriendschurch.org. Or on our phone number here at the church at 765-948-4758. We know that there's some hard times that are going on out there. Perhaps you've been cut back in hours, worked. Maybe there's just some hard financial things. Maybe there's some health issues that people are going through. Please, even during isolation, be intentional to reach out and connect however you can, and now is one of those times. So please get a hold of us. We would love to connect. Mm-hmm. Here we are back in the church. It's empty, and just kind of feeling that, aren't we? Just kind of feeling the emptiness of our sanctuary and just missing our church family and worshiping together.
Yeah.
A couple things that we want to encourage our church, just a couple. Ideas as we work through. We're kind of moving through Passover. We've arrived at Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the time when Jesus enters into Jerusalem and he's about to walk through Passion Week that's leading to the cross. There's been times throughout biblical history where God has done these things, where there's been massive hardships that have come along the way. And yet he has been faithful to provide. I think of the time whenever, Noah is loading his family onto the ark because of all of the hardship, all of the wickedness that's going on. And yet God preserves his family. He uses someone to rise up as the deliverer, as a guy of salvation, not only saving all of mankind through his own family, but saving all of the living creatures, right? All of the animals at the time. I think of a deliverer like Moses. And Moses, who was during the 10 plagues, right? They've got the sicknesses and the diseases that are going on. And these 10 plagues that are hitting Egypt. And Moses leads his people out of Egypt through the wilderness toward the promised land. Think of other times in situations where maybe it's, David. And David in the cave of Adullam, whenever David is running for his life from King Saul, and King Saul is hard after David and wants to wipe him out. If you remember, because of facing the giant, because of taking on Goliath, and because of Goliath, it made David a household name. Now King Saul wants to wipe him out, and he threw a spear at him. And David is just kind of like, how the innocent, they just believe all things. They just trust all things. They hope all things to the pure. All things are pure. David gets a spear chucked at him, and he didn't really think too much about it until he got a second spear chucked at him. And he's like, oh, I'm a little suspicious about this guy, right? And so he starts to flee for his life. And even at one point in time, as David is passing through, I believe it's Gath, he's passing through a town, he even has to act insane to try to get through to a place so that he can flee, and he's running for his life. And he goes to the cave of Adullam. Let me just tell you, quarantine is nothing new. And so here he is hiding out with this ragtag group of guys, and yet they come out of the cave ready to lead. And ready to take over, ready to lead the people of Israel as the people of God to the kingdom of God. Think of the time of the disciples whenever they're hidden away in the upper room. And Jesus had just died. It just seems lonely. It seems hard. Like, we had hoped that Jesus was going to be this great deliverer and he was going to do something awesome. And now he's dead. And there's 120 disciples hanging out together in this upper room for multiple days, seemingly quarantined, seemingly having distance from society, right? And yet that was the place of their visitation. Alyssa and I, we talk often. Like, what have been the different seasons of our lives that we've gone through, different seasons of life? And we've been in bigger cities, we've been in smaller cities, we've been around a lot of people, we've been around nobody, we've been in little country bumpkin settings, we've kind of experienced a lot.
And we like it all.
And we like it all, man. We like the full menu. But Alyssa, what's been one of your personal favorite seasons of life?
Yeah. One of my absolute favorite seasons of life was when we lived in New Orleans. It was for a short season, but I had had Judah. He was 1 year old, and that's the only child I had. So all of my focus could be turned towards him, and we did puzzles, and we went to the pool. We lived in this condo-like place, and we're just every day, it was just simple. And it was wonderful. It was quiet. I didn't really even know anybody, and that was okay. I liked the quiet. I liked just that one-on-one time with my son while Brock was working. And it really did something in me. I felt like it was during that season where I became okay with being with my family, with being in the quiet, with having an alone time with the Lord. I didn't have many distractions. I didn't have many people pulling and tugging at me or to distract me or to go hang out with. It was a really sweet, sweet time that I cherish quite a bit.
Yeah. I think it's whenever we're squeezed, it reveals who we are by what comes out.
Absolutely.
When you're squeezed, what comes out? And it really reveals so much of who we are, what God is doing inside of us. And this is a time, not only whenever America as a country and a society is being squeezed, but you in your personal life, for me in my personal life, the squeezing that's taking place just by being uncomfortable. Maybe it's a financial squeeze. Maybe it's the closeness of all of us living together, you know, now in this home, we're forced to live in close proximity. But those things, it reveals a lot. One of the cool, I think, missionaries of our faith and evangelists, was a man by the name of George Mueller. George Mueller, was in Bristol, England, and he was born over 200 years ago in the early 1800s. This is a man who had multiple children that were born. He outlived all of them. He had multiple wives that he had outlived. He didn't have the wives at the same time, but he had gotten married and she had passed. And then he remarried and she passed away.
Gosh.
So this is a man surrounded by massive amounts of hardship.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine bearing a wife or bearing a child. Although I know many situations right here in our church where y'all have done that. And it is hard, right? I don't know what's harder than losing spouse, a child, a sibling, somebody super, super close to you. And this is a man who had buried multiple kids, two of them that grew into adulthood that he lost, and also two other children that were dead at birth. And then here he is, just giving his life and giving his heart to the Lord. And his passion was for orphans in the area. They say that he took care of more than 10,000 orphans during his lifetime. And that's feeding, that's housing, clothing, discipling young people. He's had a heart of the Lord for these people. And George Mueller's, one of his best lines, I think, he says, "Trials are the food of faith." Mm. This was a man that knew when the trials come, this is our time to shine. This is what faith is all about. Whenever it doesn't seem like it's going to work out, it doesn't seem like it's always just, it makes sense. It's by faith that I don't always see it, but I do believe it. It's the substance of things that I can't even see, but it's what I'm hoping for, right? And that's what's being fleshed out. And so for some of us, maybe the hardship is being in that house. Maybe living in that house right now is not overly enjoyable. Maybe the proximity is providing perspective. Mm. Proximity provides perspective. The closer you get in proximity, the better the perspective is.
Yeah.
And you can see things differently, right? And so hopefully, clarity creates closeness, mm-hmm. creates clarity. Closeness creates clarity. And hopefully it's also the other way, that clarity creates closeness, right? And it's not just that now that I'm closer to my spouse, right? All is being revealed. Like now I know what she does all day, right? I'm seeing what she is doing because I'm, you know, not going to all of the different nursing facilities and going to all of these different places in my job. I'm working from home. Now I get to see what she does. It's being revealed.
Are you impressed?
Pretty blown away. It's pretty awesome. And all the kids are home, right? The closeness. Mm-hmm. And so now we're all homeschool parents. We're all doing this thing. And it's revealing a lot. And it can either do a couple of things. It can reveal and remind. A revelation should remind you why you love this woman, why you fell in love with that spouse, why your kids are awesome, right? It reveals like, golly, just blown away. Or it exposes things that we don't like. Mm-hmm. Just the frustrations. Like, why do you have that attitude? And why do you do this? And why can't you just pick up your clothes after yourself all of the time?
Yes.
Me or you?
You.
No. Oh,
thank you. He gets it. It's being revealed.
All is revealed, right? All is being exposed. And those rubs, because we're so close, the rubs, you just can't run out and just hang with the boys now or just go shopping with the girls or find other places of outlets. We are in close proximity. And maybe that's been a frustration. Recently saw an article that divorce is on the rise just in the last 3 weeks because now I actually got to live with that woman, with that man, with that spouse. We've got to be in this thing close. I've also seen perhaps for some of you, maybe your kids are grown and gone. Maybe you're in a season of singleness, that isolation and loneliness is so heavy. Mm-hmm. It's just so real. Weighing down on you, that depression is up, the loneliness is up, and therefore suicide is now going up in our country. It's just the heavy realities of what goes on whenever, I guess, just the normal things of life mm-hmm. happen. But a couple of things that I want to encourage you with. What happens when you come out of the cave? As David ran to flee to save his life, right? He went into voluntary quarantine and God was working some things out in his character. I'll tell you this, when no one else is around and we're all in those seasons right now, who you are when no one's looking is who you are.
Yeah.
Who you are when no one's watching is who you are. And David's character was getting worked out, not because he was living in this awesome kingdom, because he's in this huge castle, because he's got servants and people around him. God took him to the hidden place. God took him away out of the social norm. He had a massive social distancing. Think about Noah on the ark. Talk about social distancing. There's nobody else alive on the planet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or talk about the closeness of proximity that they had to work through in their family. You can't go anywhere. You're on a boat together.
For like 140 days or?
Yeah, 100.
Fish.
50 days, the flood was, but they were on that boat for over a year together in this quarantine, right? But I want to encourage you with this, that the disciples, as they were away, just together in this room, that your hidden place, your secret place, This place where God has carved you and just sat you down and slowed you down for a little bit is your very place of visitation. God wants to meet you. God wants to meet me. And whenever I come out of the cave, I need to be cloaked in the glory of God. Not in frustration, not in bitterness, not in depression or heaviness or just so frustrated with my family. I come out shining, fully alive because I've been with him. I've sat in his presence. There's just not a whole lot of other things to do or places to go. So I'm just going to get into the presence of God and just soak and saturate and seek him with everything that I've got. And I want to encourage parents, man, to gather the kids around, to make time at the dinner table. To read some books, to open up the Bible, to disciple your family, and to pursue the Lord at this time in that upper room, this time just you in the ark, this time in your little cave of Adullam, to meet God there.
Yeah.
Tell you, I think we all have that cool uncle. You might think that you're the cool uncle. I know that I've had the coolest uncle around. And for me, born in the early 80s, my uncle was coming through his teenager years and through his 20s through the 80s and 90s. And he was the cool uncle, Jay Ross. And Jay had some pretty cool hair. He had kind of grown it out a little bit. He had it coming down the back. I'm not sure if it was a full Billy Ray mullet or not, but he just had it. He wore the bro tanks and the beach shorts and the checkered Heads, shoes, it was hot. And he's on top of it still today when it comes to 80s rock music. And occasionally, you know, we'll make a little 80s rock joke or, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High sort of a, you know, funny 80s sort of a joke. And even personally during this quarantine, I've gotten a little wild with my own hair. Should I show him?
Yes.
Alyssa loves it. She can't get enough of this.
So hot.
Check this out.
Wow. Just can run my fingers through it.
Huh? Huh? What do you think about that, church? I'm strictly business in the front, but trust me, there's a party in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And while others might have a mullet, I got the skull. This is my skullet right here, and it's just gonna, I almost can feel it on my collar. But in the 80s, right? What a amazing time. But Tom Petty, in 1989, comes out with this song, Won't Back Down. Should we give them a little bit?
They need to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, lead us.
And I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Ooh, that was good.
That was great.
Hey, baby. There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I won't back down. And I'll stand my ground.
Oof, that was good.
That was
You sounded fantastic.
Thank you. Yep, I was feeling it right there. But here's the deal, is that song is just confident. I won't back down. And you can stand me at the gates of hell, and I'm not going to back down. And he another line in there, he says, I won't allow this world to pull me down. I'm going to stand my ground. And I want to encourage you, man, if it feels like the flood waters are rising, God's provided the ark. If it feels like the plagues are taken over, God has set up the promised land to lead us out to a different day. If it feels like we're quarantined inside of a cave, it's because God is taking us from a cave to a kingdom. If God has separated us into an upper room, it's only because he wants to have a place of visitation. I just believe that this is the season to encounter God. He wants to know his people. He wants to have an encounter with his people. And whatever we're going through, he wants us to come out and to shine. Today's Palm Sunday, and Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, and he is going to get squeezed. And I'll tell you, his best comes out. The best of Jesus, the passion of Christ, the beating, the mockery, the blasphemy, the abuse that he suffered. And he went from suffering to shining, and that's what we're called to do. This is the invitation for all of us as we're walking through, no matter what the pain, no matter what the suffering, no matter what we could possibly go through. Allow this season to be a sweet season where we pause, we slow down, we meet with Jesus, and we have a visitation. Church family, we love you. We miss you. We cannot wait to be back together with you all soon. One more time. Just let it flow. Okay, church.
All right.
We love you.
We love you.
See y'all soon. Wow. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
Oh, work. Even with three kids running around.
Oh my word.
Y'all didn't see it. Three kids were running around back here.
Wasn't distracted one bit.
Whose kids are the ones that are just running around the church?
Preacher's kids. Pastor's kids.
Gosh, the worst. Tom Petty came out with a song called I Won't Back Down. It goes a little bit like this. You ready?
Yeah, you start.
A little bit higher.
Won't back.
I don't remember the words.
Down. Yes, I'll stand my ground.
I've messed that up.
There was a man by the name of George Fox that. No way.
George Mueller.
George Mueller. George Fox is my great granddaddy's father's father. George Fox is the founder of Quakers. Can't get that name out of my mouth.
Mueller.
Mueller.
Mueller. Mueller. Okay, you got it?
Mueller. Mueller. Ferris Mueller. All right. We're trying to disciple people, trying to lead them to the
lock it in, Meyer.
Trying to have a Shabbat moment.
Focus.
Where they can have some Shekinah glory come right into their living room.
All right, okay.
That should bring you some seriousness.
I'm locked in. So, when I was living in...
Where were you living? I don't even remember seeing him.
When I was living in New Orleans, he wasn't living with me.
I don't remember where you
were. Jude and I lived in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think you guys had a great time. I love the postcards.
You were there too.
By the way, French Quarter, Jackson Square. It's a beautiful place from what I hear. Never seen it myself.
We lived in New Orleans. Okay, all right.
It feels like the death angel is passing. Pretty hot?
Yeah.
All right, that'll do.
Okay.
And that's a wrap. Out.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.